Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. Live from Flushing, New York. Not live, but you know what I mean. I'm sitting here in Flushing. And I got a bit of a story to tell you before I play today's podcast. Oh my lord, did I encounter my first major technical difficulties. Yesterday afternoon, I recorded a 90-minute chat with my brother Aiden Bishop, also a comedian. And when I sat down to edit it, all of it was screwed up. Major noise, major problems. So it was unusable. So I was like, damn, you know, because I like having two podcasts a week. So I decided, right, I'm going to Bill Burr that shit, and I'm going to just talk to myself while I was driving back into the city because I had a gig last night at the Comedy Cellar, late show. So I was driving on the LIE to Long Island Expressway, and I was just talking to myself. And it was okay, but I was like, damn, this is not up to the standard that I like for the podcast, right? So I get to the cellar, and I'm all depressed about that. And I was telling Jared Freed, who I'm hoping to get on the podcast soon too. He has the J Train podcast. I was telling him, he's like, fuck, that's happened to me. I guess it's just a thing that's going to happen. So I did my gig. Gig went great. I was happy with that. And then Godfrey showed up. Now, Godfrey is an amazing Nigerian-American comedian who's just big energy, big personality, intense too sometimes when you're chatting with him, you know? So I was like, Godfrey, I got to get you on a podcast at some stage. So then we started chatting about when that might happen. And he was like, afternoon or evening. I was like, whenever you want, bro, I'll just pick you up. We'll drive around. That's what I do. And then he was like, you know, I was like, yo, we could do it right now if you want. And he's like, whoa, we could do it right now. So I was like, yeah. And at 2:30 a.m. with no prep whatsoever, Godfrey and I jumped in my car and we drove around Manhattan for 50 minutes and we recorded this podcast. Yeah, so for those that don't know Godfrey, he's a huge part of the American comedy scene. Just has a new Showtime special that's come out. He's been on Louis. He's been on 30 Rock. He was in Zoolander. Tough crowd with Colin Quinn. I mean, listen, I can't even list his credits because there's so many. Great guy. Super interesting. He used to do the warm-ups for the Cosby Show. That's how long this guy's been around doing his thing. And it's a pretty intense conversation for a lot of it. You know, it's a straight up discussion about racism and being an African American and a Nigerian American in America. And then the second half is some super silly shit, which I think is worth hanging out for. I think all of the chat is cool. A lot of the black history that he's talking about, you need to Google if you don't believe it. You know, if you disagree with some of what he's saying, that's fine too. Leave comments about that. But I'm happy with the chat, and I hope you guys are too. So without further ado, the impromptu discussion with Godfrey at 2:30 a.m. in Manhattan, driving around in the humidity.
Well, yeah, I mean, but loads of people have good jokes, but they can't handle going on first, and they can't handle going on last.
Who have energy and suck. You ever see an energetic sucky comic? Oh, that is horrible.
Like who? I'm not gonna have you shit on somebody. But.
No, hell no. But you know, there are energetic, sucky comics. You ever see a shitty, clean comic? Oh, that is the worst. That makes my ass itch.
All right, so I wanted to. Here's the thing that I find very interesting about you, because you were the first black American I met that was like Nigerian, you know, like of Nigerian descent.
Yeah, I'm Nigerian American.
Yeah, which I think is like a little bit of a culturally different experience to say a lot of African American. It's funny because you're more genuine African American than the
right,
term.
But it is. But I like to be specific. Like Irish people say, I'm Irish American. Italians go, I'm Italian American. Russian American. Nigerian American. That is how I'm supposed to say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So African American is for, of course, the Africans that are descendants, black people are descendants of slaves and stuff, because they just need to have something to connect to.
Which yeah, but you're the children of immigrants.
I am a children of West African Nigeria. Nigeria, what up? Immigrants.
Yeah.
Moved to America. I was born in Nebraska. You know, my father was studying over there. You know, Africans
yeah.
go everywhere. As long as there's a school, we're there. West African Nigerians are even in Ireland.
Oh, listen, man. That was kind of why I wanted to talk to you about it. Because
ooh,
that's
being treated.
That's the... No, well, but that's the...
Yeah.
When in black people in Ireland, mostly yes. are Nigerian.
Of course, we're everywhere. Because if it's usually we're there for schooling, something is over there and we want to have it. I have to go to Ireland. I'm going there right now.
You have to understand that what? The Nigerians were literally the first black people that ever lived in Ireland.
I believe that.
So it's a unique experience that they're having.
What year was that when Nigerians started coming into Ireland?
Well, I guess. In and around 20 years ago, approx.
About in the 80s?
No, in the mid-90s really is when it started.
Wow.
You know, the beginning of... I mean, listen, I'm making a bit of an assumption, but I think it's a fair assumption to make that. In around the mid-90s, Nigerian immigration started in Ireland. So,
really?
Yeah, and literally it was the beginning of apparent race. You know, like, basically it was the beginning of people being like, well, I'm not into black people. You know, like, people literally, like, realizing they're racist. I'm not even kidding.
Wait a minute. You know, it's really funny. Yeah, it's like funny. So you're not racist as long as black people aren't around.
Yeah, well, you just don't have a
but
chance to know.
The potential is there.
Yeah. So would
go
you
ahead. Yeah, sorry. That was unnecessary. Everyone's like, what the fuck is he doing? Go ahead.
Did you like growing up, though, was kind of weird, though, no? Because you were having like a completely different experience to like, say, African-American kids at home. But I guess everyone was probably assuming, you know, like...
Yeah, people would assume, like, single-parent home. Like, no, I have both my parents. But also, the Nigerian culture is so strong
yeah.
that we always knew we were African. We knew we were African. I mean, we eat the food every day. My mother, my parents have accents. There's the clothing, our parties, it's African music. My uncle's was a famous singer in Nigeria, Sonny Okosun. So I had musicians in my family... African, we're African.
Yeah.
And then when you go out into the world and you meet African Americans who are from the South, like Mississippi and all that, and they answer your names like Bishop. There's a lot of black people with last name Bishop.
Yeah.
O'Neill. There's a lot of Irish, a lot of black Irish in America.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've always wondered about the history of that. I always assumed it was some sort of middleman thing. Yeah,
slave
yeah.
owner stuff. Slave owner plantation. Yeah. So I sometimes there would be a little tension between African Americans and Africans. Because in Africa, they will show images of black people being gangsters and being arrested, drug dealers. That's all they'll show.
Yeah.
And then in America, they'll show Africans with flies on their face.
Sure,
don't
yeah.
ever eat. So imagine that image for years and years, and then you both meet up.
You all get together. It's like
and
you're
then,
the
and
fly
then African
people.
Goes, you guys are lazy. All you do, you play basketball. You play basketball. That's it. You're lazy. You sell drugs too. That's all you do, man. You never go to school.
Yeah, I heard that before, though, that is the stereotype amongst African
right.
immigrants for African
Americans. And then African Americans go, oh, man, shut the fuck up, man. You chasing lions and shit butt naked, little bitch. What, is Tarzan your best friend, motherfucker? Get out of here, man. Where's your loincloth, motherfucker?
Yeah.
Don't talk that shit. He goes, hey, motherfucker, don't say that to me. Hey, listen, motherfucker, little African ass. You better shut your ass up, Kunta Kinte.
Yeah, but do you, like, I mean, you could say that. I
who's Kunta Kinte? I don't know him. He's not real. Don't ever say that to me.
Who is Kunta?
Do you understand? Kunta Kinte was real, though.
Oh, what?
You know, from Roots?
No, Kunta I know Kinte. Who Kunta Kinte is.
Yeah, he was a real slave. It's a real story.
Oh,
I'm not
real?
Even bullshit. Nah, he was Kunta Kinte. Well, I thought it was fake. I thought he was a fake African.
Yeah, me
He's
too.
He's a real deal Holyfield African, man. Kunta Kinte.
The story.
The story's real.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
You guys know about Kunta Kinte in Ireland?
A little bit. Not as well. It's not as like, you know the way you can drop that shit as a punchline here and people
right.
know. In Ireland, you got to do probably a little bit of explaining.
Well, who's that famous Irish god? Cúchulainn?
Cúchulainn.
Cúchulainn.
How do you know about Kukulin?
Aha, because Philip Lynott was a big... Philip Lynott from Thin Lizzy. He was one of the black Irish guys.
That's
one
right.
One of the first black Irish guys. He was... Kukulin was that his dude.
Oh, Kukulin was like his...
Kukulin was like his spirit man. Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Kukulin.
Killed a dog with a hurley and everything.
Did he?
Kukulin, yeah, man. You know, it's a legend. It's legend.
Yo, fucking... You're like, break your fucking... Was that pretty good?
That's it's
What's it called, a hurley? I use my fucking hurley.
Yeah.
And I break his fucking neck, you cunt, yeah. No, nothing.
it's not bad. You know, it's not bad.
It's like this. Hey, you're fucking right. Fucking
oh, jeez, I was just about to turn on 23rd Street, and I realized you're probably not allowed to turn on 23rd Street.
Man, you can turn out, we can take it outside.
So we're just passing the bomb site there, which is not part of my driving plan, but...
I like how your accent goes in and out. You was like,
I know,
hey,
so the half and
hey,
half.
Hey, right over there, the explosion happened, but fucking hey, we're lucky we survived. Shit goes in and out.
I'm a half and half, bro.
You're like this. Hey, come here. Let me ask you a question. You fucking cunt. I'll break your fucking head. You're lucky. I'm from fucking Queens, asshole. All right? I don't have fucking time because I'm from fucking Belfast, not Dublin.
It's not bad. I mean, you're, right. You know.
I mean, I'm in the realm.
Yeah,
I'm
I mean, listen,
realm.
You're going to. After this podcast, you're going to be huge in Ireland. So,
man, know, that would be fucking dope.
Yeah, we'll get you over there.
They'll understand my shit.
And you'll get both communities because you get all the Nigerians coming.
Oh,
you know,
Nigerians
because,
be like, let's go. Godfrey is here.
Yeah, they'll know about. They know. Actually, I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
There's a little burgeoning crew of Nigerian immigrants' children
right.
that are starting to do comedy. They're all in their early 20s. Nice guys. And oh, I asked them about you, and they all know you.
Like, what?
Of course they know you because, you know, they're Nigerian comedians. Yeah. You know, like Nigerian comedians brought up in a foreign place.
Right.
So it's you know, of course
the biggest Nigerian comedian in Nigeria is Basket Mouth.
Right.
His name is, you know, Basket Mouth.
Nope.
His name is Basket Mouth. Anybody look up Basket Mouth, Basket Mouth. He's huge. He just WhatsApped me, man. He heard about me too. He says, I'm trying to get you over here.
Why don't you do it?
If it works out, that'd be great.
Yeah, because I didn't realize that English is the first language of Nigeria.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, see, learned that
Guess
recently.
Guess why it was our first language? Because these British people came over and they wouldn't fucking leave.
Yeah, that's a common problem.
Yeah.
You'll find you're talking to the right nation when you want to complain about that. That's not the first time that's happened, you know.
Africans don't speak French because they wanted to.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
but English colonized Nigeria, and then we got October 1st is our Independence Day.
Yeah. So
what's up?
We keep jumping. So
okay, sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. What the hell else did I want to talk to you about? Now I'm so excited. I mean, obviously we didn't have time to prepare because we decided to do this.
Talk about the beef between African Americans and African.
Well, we were talking about
that, right?
I did notice on a commercial for some like Hot 97 comedy show.
Yeah,
a black American comic doing jokes about new African immigrants. Like that's becoming more of a thing.
Right.
Is that true?
New African immigrants.
Well, like just it's the first time I'd heard. Black comics doing material about African immigrants, about that thing that we were talking about,
culture
clash.
There's some that do them. They have been. There's a lot of comics that do African jokes. Like, yo, there's this African dude, right? He was like, I don't need. And they all do the same.
Yeah, they all do that voice.
Yeah, but this shit is real. Because
but like in Ireland, it's the same thing. Everybody, like even the white comics are doing the Nigerian voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, because Nigerians are like, you know, it's like if Indians moved there, they'd be like, what about that? What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing in Ireland?
But don't you think Nigeria gets, like Africans hate Nigerians. Like, you know, like, don't you think Nigeria gets
Africans
shitted on the most?
Oh, out of all of the countries in Africa?
Yeah.
It gets shitted on the most because we're the most popular.
Yeah.
We're everywhere. And we're doctors, lawyers. We're
yeah,
all,
strong
we're
country.
Authors. We're doing, Nigerians are everywhere. We're the pretty much the first Africans
that branched out.
Especially branched out in America.
Went
oh,
large.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, there's states that are just Nigerian, like Texas, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. I have cousins in all those areas.
Yeah. So yeah. It's a, like, so what? Like,
so that, they're just
where's
jealous.
The, yeah.
And most of the slave trade, too, I'm just being real, most black people have a connection to West Africa in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I wasn't born in Ghana, but Africa is my mama, and I did not end up here from bad karma.
All right.
Dead Prez.
Dead Prez, who had...
had one awesome album.
It should have been, like, Dead Dez.
Dead Prez, man. I went to see them.
Dead Dez, because you can rap.
I got it. I went to see them.
I got it. Keep it moving, fucker.
No, no, I'm kidding. But I went to see them in SOBs years ago. I was a huge Dead Prez fan, and they opened with that. I'm an African. That was that song. I'm an African. Never was an African American. Blacker than black. I take it back to my origin.
Right.
And they told everybody to get their fists up, and I was the only white guy in the gig.
That's awesome.
And they started with "I'm an African," and I sang the first verse, but then I just shrunk. I shrunk into myself because I was like, I don't know, man. I'm not really supposed to be singing this. Like, in my bedroom on my own, that's fine. But right here, right now, with all the militant sort of, you know, red, black, and green people, I'm not, you know, I'm not an RBG. You know
what
I mean?
That's so funny.
So, yeah. So, like, all these stereotypes about Nigerians, like, does it piss you off, or you're happy to make fun, you know, to have fun with it?
I make fun of it. I like to have fun with it. You know, because Nigerians, we're a bold, bold culture, man. We're very bold, very confident. We'll go anywhere. We'll move anywhere, man, and establish ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're very, very, you know, we're just bold. We're like the popular Africans, man. We're like the, you know what I mean? We're like the Puff Daddies of Africa, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Our music is dope. You know, Fela Kuti.
Fela Kuti, I love.
That's what I'm saying. That's Nigeria. Fela Kuti, Femi Kuti, King Sunny Ade. I mean, the music that comes out of Africa, and most of the, a lot of the African art is, I mean, I'm not saying, most of the African art, Yoruba tribe, the Igbo tribe. I mean, we're everywhere, man. Nigeria
is a
popular African country, and we're the fourth leading exporter of oil. So what? You know, come on. Fourth leading exporter. Our poverty is like, really.
Yeah, and the corruption is a massive stereotype.
And it's been known. It's not a stereotype because it's real.
Yeah. So what did your dad say about that when you were growing up, about, you know, particularly, I guess when you were growing up, you had the
My dad's like, that's
Biafra.
Why we're in America.
Oh. That was pretty easy.
Yeah. He didn't tell me shit. I was just born in Nebraska.
Yeah, what do you need to know about Africa? That we're not there, and there's a good reason.
Oh, you mean my father when he was telling me in America? Huh.
Yeah, but I mean, that must have been like, it must have been fucked up to think like, as far as the average American is concerned, Africa is that place of poverty and flies. Well, and then suddenly, you're the children of immigrants. It's like, wait a minute, my experience.
It's so funny how they say Africa is the most, you know, but Africa gives everybody its natural resources. They take everything out of Africa. Diamonds, different minerals, animals for zoos. Everything comes out of Africa. I mean, people come out of Africa. You know, you're an African too.
Yeah, sure, man.
Everybody, whether they like it or not, Africans are in everybody's DNA. Everybody's connected to it. You know what I mean? So Africa gets a bad rap for its stereotype. You know, sometimes images, we're all about images. You know, we're all about images, and images are very important. So, you know, image, they know, can debilitate people, man. If you just show an image all the time, literally people will go off of that image on how you are.
Yeah.
You know, that's why image is very, very important. I said Africa's image.
Yeah, because that image is drilled for generation upon generation.
Right. Even when we do a joke, I do a joke about Africans. I talk about one where, like, I was hungry, and my father was taking us to McDonald's. And, you know, we were so happy that he took us, was taking us to McDonald's.
Yeah.
I was like, our stomach shrunk, the fly went away. It's like I throw in that, and people laugh, because that's the I'm using a stereotypical thought process and an image.
So and you're not worried about that Chappelle thing of people were laughing the wrong way?
No, I try to make people laugh the correct way. You know what I mean?
Because I think it's important. Like, I know I'm going on about
if I were to do a joke like that, I would explain it.
Yeah.
I would go, you know, flies, you know how people make us look. You know, I would do it that way.
Yeah.
You know, so I would actually back it up with a statement.
And do you talk much about being Nigerian or not really?
Yeah, well, my special on Showtime. You have Showtime in Ireland?
No, but I'm going to make sure everybody tries to find it, even if they have to download it illegally.
Hey,
man.
Showtime, it's called Regular Black.
Regular Black.
Right, because when I grew up in Chicago, though, and so when my friends, they heard my parents talking, they were like, yo, man, we didn't know your parents have accents. Where are they from? I said, oh, I'm Nigerian. They said, oh, we thought you were like regular black. I was like, regular black? Yeah, you know, Mississippi, Kentucky, man. You ain't regular black. You exotic or some shit.
Yeah.
It was funny, man.
So, even that is exactly what I thought when you told me first you were Nigerian. I thought you were regular black. But I did immediately think, this guy is different. Different black.
Oh, that's right. Different black.
So. You know, like you're Nigerian the way I'm Irish, but unfortunately, because of racism and people's perceptions, you get thrown into this thing of being black.
Yes.
Which is weird.
I just think, the black. You know, like black. Why does black have to be negative?
I know, man. Why is
you know,
a thing?
But the images. It's purposely done. It's purposely.
Yeah, because Amir Rahman, this great. Amir is a great Australian comedian, but he did this bit that went viral about reverse racism.
Right.
And he was basically saying there's no such thing as reverse racism because you can't... his point was you can't experience racism if you haven't been subjected to these constant images and stereotypes and reinforcement of a negative image which suggests that white is good and brown or black is bad.
Right. Well, he was talking about, what's the thing he was saying?
It was a routine about somebody saying to him, but that's just reverse racism. Now, I can't do the routine.
But here's the thing about reverse racism. Like, racism, here's the equation to racism. Racism is prejudice plus discrimination. All right? Everybody's prejudiced, naturally. If you don't know somebody, you wonder, you're like, who are they about? What are they about? It's discrimination. That is when you stop the process of people's lives as far as like don't let them in your schools, you know, you don't let them buy housing, you know, you keep them from literally having any kind of power. That's discrimination. Racism is a systematic thing that is purposely done to keep certain people down, poor, you know what I mean, uneducated, right? You know, for the elite. And that's what racism is. Like, for an example, like in America, a lot of schools with blacks and Latinos are usually horrible. The schools are dilapidating. You know, there's leaky this, leaky that. Yeah. Kids can't concentrate. So schools that have mostly white kids, they got the best facilities.
Yeah.
And then they're considered the smartest. I go, well, it's kind of tough for a black kid to take a test when there's a pipe leaking on his test. It's kind of tough.
Yeah.
When the teachers don't give a shit. When the mom, you know, the dads aren't there or they're eating shitty food. You know, it's kind of tough. That doesn't prove that a black kid is not smart. But if you put a black kid or a Latin kid in the same schools as some of these rich white kids, which has been done, it's either they're going to be better than you or you just are the smartest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not. It has to be an even playing field. It's like sports. You know, sports was all white in America until we showed up. We were like, oh, well, you thought you were the best. Nope. Brothers have shown up. No, you know what I'm saying.
No, I get it, but I like equation is interesting.
That's what the equation is. That is what it is. If I say you're prejudice is prejudging. Prejudice is to prejudge someone. That is a natural thing when you don't know somebody. You have a curiosity about them. The key is how do you react to that difference. There's the difference. When you see somebody's black or you're Asian, what is your reaction to it? There's the problem. Do you hate that thing because it doesn't look like you and you want to harm it? Or do you go, who are you? This is great. I embrace you. You're different. I'm different. It's all good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Discrimination is like when you're not allowed into people's like country clubs. You can't go to certain schools. You can't get along. That is racism. And whites have the power. Racism is power, dude. We don't have that. We literally don't have that. We don't own real estate. We don't own any TV shows. None of that shit.
And Obama's presidency didn't...
Didn't do... Oh, please. I just wanted to see it happen.
Yeah.
I know what the fucking structure is. People act like government was made like 8 years ago. This shit started when George Washington and his boys like, hey, first of all, we need some slaves. Okay, let's do that first.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Before them, even.
Yeah, right. And so the system has always been, I believe too that the system is designed for no one to get too powerful. You know what I mean? Even if they're.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
White. No,
so you're just at the bottom of the list. But actually, there's plenty of disempowered people.
Right.
So do you believe then to a degree that like racism is part of the divide and conquer?
Hell, oh, of course. It's first on the agenda, man. And sometimes it's not about nigger and chink and spick. The name calling is bullshit. It's not really the name calling. That's just the extra added bonus. It's the power structure. It's keeping you from progressing. Keeping you from, you know, from thriving.
Yeah.
Keeping people in ghettos that you don't like. You keep them in ghettos. You keep them on welfare. You keep their food fucked up. You keep their kids sick. You keep them. It's a system.
Yeah.
That's why.
But then everybody, I know, like I follow Talib Kweli on Twitter, yeah, right?
Right.
And like he just gets barraged with people saying, but why don't you take any responsibility? Why don't why doesn't the African American take responsibility for this and that?
Well, first of all,
by the way, this I'm just showing what he gets. So, I'm going to get this now. It's like, why didn't you challenge him on this? You know, they're going to say this shit to me.
Oh, really? That's
all right. Oh, for real? No, of course. I don't care.
Nah, you don't care. But I'm saying this. There's a lot of irresponsible shit that black people do. Of course. Like, but we're not going to ignore the fact that white supremacy, I mean, I'm just being real, white racism has fucked us up. Imagine you being slaves and people take you and separate your mother, father, children, and sell them. We were the first stock on Wall Street. Slaves were.
Yeah.
The first. In New York City, we're the first stock was slavery. Was, you know, whites were slaves too, but they were indentured servants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see, but we were brought and we weren't paid, done. We were beaten. We were beaten up, you know, raped, all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? Our history is so horrendous that there's a good reason for us to be angry. There's actually, we actually have a good reason to be angry. But out of our oppression, what have black people done? Blues, rock and roll, jazz, hip hop. It's called the blues, for Christ's sake. It's not the happies. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm gonna play a little happy. That's what white people can play. The blues is white oppression. I'm a black man or I'm a black woman. I can't get a job. There's Jim Crow, segregation. That's where blues came from.
Yeah.
Spirituals, slaves sang in the fields when they were picking cotton and shit like that to get through the day. And then the blues came. And then rock and roll. Rock and roll is a term that black people use when they were having sex. Rock and roll is a black creation. And white artists came, took all the shit. That's what they did because they could.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then there's rock, then there's hip hop, then there's jazz, also jazz, which was created in New Orleans by a black dude. I mean, we pretty much built America. That's what's so funny. It's slavery. Slaves built the White House. I mean, slaves did everything. Yeah. That's why we have a lot of inventions. You know, would you like me to tell you some inventions?
Hit me.
Okay, boom. We this guy named Charles Dean, he invented the first microchip, but they don't tell you. Microchip. Thomas Edison had this guy named Louis Latimer, who helped use the filament in Thomas Edison's bulbs to keep it from exploding because it kept exploding, and he created the filament. You can look it up. Louis Latimer.
Black dude.
Black dude. First open heart surgery, Daniel Hale, black doctor. I got it on my phone. It's Henry, he's the creator. Vivian Thomas is the creator. He created cardiac surgery. Black dude.
They're touching on that one in The Nick? Have you seen The Nick?
The Nick. Oh, kind
of. Do you think they're kind of trying to touch on that?
They have that black dude. I love The Nick, by the way. It's a phenomenal show. But yeah.
I guess they're trying to touch on that.
But Mos Def played the guy. Vivian Harry. He played that guy. Mos Def played
in a different movie.
In a movie called What God, What the Hands of God or something. And Mos Def plays who's Talib Kweli's boy.
Sure. I saw them in SOBs too, Black Star.
Yeah. So he's we did a lot of things. Charles Drew discovered plasma. You know, your plasma? Mm. Charles Drew, black dude. And then when he got in a car accident, they didn't admit him in because he was black. And he had just discovered plasma for hospitals.
Wow.
Yeah. So we invented a lot of things. Henry T. Mason, cell phone. They don't say it, though. We've created a lot of things.
Yeah.
But like I said, racism is what can stop you from showing it to in education, keeping it out of books. That's racism. You understand? It's not necessarily calling people names. It's when you stop the process of progress, you know, income, shit like that.
Yeah, because when I talk to Sherrod, he's like, really, I don't give a fuck what people say as much as he's got a problem with the system.
That's right.
People get so hung up on the words.
It's the system, right. And it's just like a sprinkle on top of a cake. It's like you have, like, you say somebody white is calling me names. They're calling me names because the system's already there for them. So they're so entitled already going, look at those people. Hmm. You guys don't, fucking niggers, fucking this, that, this. They're saying that because they're like, well, we're white and everything's been great for us.
Yeah.
Even poor whites. Well, what do you think the Klan is? Klan was a bunch of rednecks, poor whites that were angry at rich whites and took it out on blacks.
So what do you say when people are like, get over it?
Get over it. I told them to go to fucking hell.
Yeah, I mean, like, comedy-wise, how do you... Have you ever straight-up tackle that shit?
Oh, yeah, man. I go race, man. I love doing race-heavy shit. I incorporate a lot of black history facts. I throw it in, and I try to make it really funny.
Mm.
I try to make it funny because, okay, like, the streetlight was... And this is a very Irish name, Garrett Morgan.
Yeah.
Garrett Morgan invented the streetlight. He's a black dude. He invented the streetlight and the gas mask. The streetlight, and then I'll talk about. Well, he's like, well, how did he invent that? Well, they were trying to run his ass over. So he's like, oh, make me a light this time. They'll have to stop. So I make it funny.
And yeah, which is powerful.
And then I tell people, you think I'm just an angry black man? Google it. And I'll have people Google it. They go, yo, man, it's true. And then I met a white dude named Garrett Morgan one night, and I was talking about that. He says, my name's Garrett Morgan. I go, well, you need to look up Garrett Morgan. He goes, holy shit, he invented the streetlight. And the gas, yeah, black dude. And you know, we have this month, and you know, you've been in America.
Black History Month.
February, the shortest month, you fucking assholes. 28 days, hurry up with your black shit.
Yeah, a little tip every 4th year.
Tip, right. You get a little fucking leap year, you little bitch, but hurry up. But they give us a month, and it used to be Black History Week. Carter G. Woodson was a black historian that had he pushed to get a Black History Week. It was only a week at one time, so now a month. But we should not wait for Black History Month, because now this is through racism. They only show the same old people all the time. Martin Luther King. We just celebrated him in January.
Harriet Tubman,
and which I take nothing. They were African American. They are heroes. They're about to put Harriet Tubman on the 20.
Yeah.
That she was she freed so many slaves. That's where there's so many blacks in Canada. Black people that are in Canada, they need to thank Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. She was very, very smart. And I'm not taking anything from them. Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, you know. But they relegate you to only a few people. And black history is like regular history. There are a lot of people you need to learn about. You know, you ever heard of Bill Pickett?
No.
Okay, you know, in the rodeos, when you see the people tackle the steer, they tackle and rope it. Bill Pickett was the first to create. He created that in Texas. They have a statue of him in Dallas. He's the father of steel wrestling. Black cowboys. Cowboys were black first. They were not white. They were black. That's a fact. They were black because cowboys were they tended the cows.
So they were slaves.
They were like servants. They were cowboys. Yeah. So they knew how to ride. They knew how to do all that shit. We also, in Canada, we were...
It's the whitest sport on the planet.
It's the whitest sport on the planet. Right.
How the fuck did that happen?
Racism.
Yeah.
They kick you out of it. They don't let you in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying it's like hockey. I just learned this other thing. I'm hockey.
was played by black players but in Canada before the white ones, because they got pictures of all black hockey teams, because it's in the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians had a floor hockey game, and there's a surfing too. Surfing was they recorded that latest the earliest recordings of people seeing people surf was in like the 1700s. They're Africans on boards on the coast of Ghana.
Real?
Yeah, it's in this documentary called Whitewash about black surfers. So the Africans were doing that too. Long time.
Shuffleboard?
That's you guys. Shuffleboard is you guys.
Shuffleboard is us for sure.
Old white people play that shit. It's real slow moving. But it's just like, that's really
important. That's reverse racism.
That's
reverse,
yeah. See, you know, they say, white people say reverse racism when you call them a name, when you say something wrong. They'll be like, whoa, that's reverse racism. I go, but do I keep you from going to school? Does the black man keep you down?
Yeah.
Do I keep you from not getting a loan? Do I keep you from not moving into a neighborhood? No, I can't do that. But if I say something like, yo, man, shut up, you little cracker, that's reverse racism. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. There's no reverse institutionalization.
Yeah. You're not as N-word is important, but like you're not as hung up on that as you are just the system.
Right. But I mean, if someone calls you a nigger, you're going to be like, damn.
Yeah, damn.
I'm going to keep it real. I hope all Irish people listen. Nigger is a phenomenal slur. It's phenomenal. It's unbelievable, because you know why? It's the strongest and it still gets reactions.
Yeah.
It still gets protests. I think niggas should go on tour and write its own book. You know what I'm saying? We need to hear its story. We need to hear. No, nigger needs to really go.
I think you need to write that.
I am.
You need to write that show.
It does.
It's like you look at me and you think I'm Godfrey, but I am. You know,
right?
Like,
right. No doubt. That's an idea.
Well, I can't. I am nigger. That's the show.
No, I'm some real shit. Hey, it's nigger.
That's the show.
Right. You know, and
write that motherfucker.
Yeah,
no,
I am.
Because it's the history of the word. Really.
That's a good idea. Nigger is like the strongest, because we have the strongest negative images. We do. Our images are the strongest. I think we impact the trends. Like, people copy everything black people do around the world. We have the strongest culture. Like, our culture is the strongest, because everywhere I go, every country I've been to, hip-hop is fucking everywhere. Hip-hop's everywhere. The slang, I see. Listen. People were calling us niggers so much, we made nigger cool, and now you got Asians calling each other niggers. That's how dope we are. One day I was standing next, there was two Filipino dudes going, yo, my nigga, let me tell you something, my nigga, and I felt excluded.
They out niggered you, man.
They were like this, no, we ain't talking about you, man, this ain't your business. I'm like, wait, but I thought, since you say it, why can't I? No, that's another one I always laughed at, when white people, my white friends would go, well, you guys always say it. Well, you know, why can't we say it? I go, you do say it.
Yeah.
That's where we got the word from. Dumbass. That's where we got it from. It's like, we didn't come up and go, hey, man, what's up? I got this word, man. Nigga. Oh, that's cool. No, we were called that. So you learned. Oh, that was my education on racism.
Yeah.
I was called something. I said, well, that doesn't sound like Godfrey.
You've been called that, yeah?
Yeah, in class. I've been calling class in my high school in Chicago. This is Chicago. I've been called on the street, like, yeah. But all the racial stuff, I try to take all of that to the stage in a smart way. You know, a lot of comics don't go into that realm, but I do, because I think about it a lot. And I try to intellectualize my shit, but make it funny as fuck, though.
Well, that's what you got to do, right?
That's your job.
Promise. Yeah, that's our...
If I want to be a preacher, I need to become a preacher. But if I'm doing racial shit, I better have some fucking jokes, man. Because it's not fair to my... white fans, Asian, it's not fair to other people who want to enjoy a show.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to do my heavy racial shit, the motherfuckers better be like, I don't mind them being uncomfortable, but it has to end with a laugh, man, or I'm irresponsible.
So were you part of the Def Comedy Jam days and all that?
Well, I never got chosen.
Get the fuck out.
They always skipped me, and I used to kill, too, and they never, and one day, the guy that recruits who fucking passed me up all the time, and he would say, yo, but you're not ghetto. I go, I'm not from the ghetto. I'm from regular blue-collar family. Fuck, I'm not from the ghetto.
Yeah,
I'm funny.
You have to be from the ghetto.
And I said,
first of all,
no, nothing's more ghetto than an African fucking ghetto. Fuck them here in America, please.
So he said you're not ghetto enough?
Yeah, he said you're not ghetto enough. I said, but I don't want to be. I'm not ghetto enough. What do you mean? Half you motherfuckers aren't that ghetto. You guys are immigrants like me. Your parents are immigrants anyway.
But yeah. I guess they
But
just...
I was around deaf. I would watch it and stuff. Yeah.
But I guess to a degree, that's like almost like taking away from race, but that's like almost hack in the sense of they're making an assumption that the audience has to get that sort of ghetto. Like Eddie Murphy had that great joke, they had choices. Like, what do they have that we don't have choices? Right? Great joke. But like, then you get, you know, miles and miles of we were poor, we were poor.
Well, we were so poor. Oh, come on. Yeah. What about the
kids? That's unfortunate.
But here's the thing. Nowadays, you got to be careful saying that joke. With these millennials, you'd be like this. We were so poor. And be like, oh, no, we weren't. You can be talking to Nelly's kids. Hell, you can be talking to fucking, you know what I mean?
But that's good.
But that's great.
That's progress.
It's progress in your joke. You know if it's progress. You go, man, we were so poor. I'm like, I'm sorry. We weren't. No, yeah, we're black. We live over here, you know.
We're somewhere with
that's like
with
I'm
the
old, doing a show for the Obamas kids.
We're somewhere
like
with
this,
the Obamas.
Like this. I'm like, oh, hello, my father's president. You know what I'm saying? So that was routine. It was like people were imitating other black comics. Like some black comics.
But that
still,
to me is more reinforcing the stereotype.
It, of course it reinforces.
I mean, obviously
but
it's
any,
powerful
but sometimes
to see
you
black
want
people
to,
performing in their
but
own
you
space.
You want people to laugh. You're in, especially if you're doing an urban audience, you ain't got time.
Yes.
You're just trying to hit it and quit it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like James Brown said, we'll hit it and quit it. We'll hit it and quit it. Take it to the bridge.
You got to get in and out of that brain.
Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. No transitioning. Bam, bam. Who likes to eat pussy? Oh, good night. give it up to my man who just said he ate pussy.
Oh
shit. And then after he gets off, he'll be like this. Speaking of pussy, man, let me tell you something. Thank you. Good night.
You got some of that white pussy?
You ever eat white pussy? Ooh, it is white.
Vanilla.
Good night. Yo, what's up, everybody? Oh, shit. You know what? You ever put a dick in someone's butt? Ah, good night.
And then finish it off with some Jay-Z impersonations.
He's like, yo, it's over. Oh, shit. Good night. It's Cosby. You see? Here it comes. Oh, boy. Oh, no. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Get out of here. Run. Get out. Good night.
I'm not going to stop you, man. Whenever you want to.
Oh, it's Stewie. Brian. Come here, Brian. Brian. Good night. It's like, Jason Statham. Hey, I told you. I don't like that joke. Oh, good night.
So, actually, before I let you go, because I could do that shit all night, but before I let you go, like, what do you think of Trump? I kind of promised my Irish audience that I've been avoiding Trump, but now that we're in America.
Well, I know in the UK they hate him because they're like golf
we hate
course
him in Ireland.
Scotland, especially that big golf course he opened up and everything.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, you're a comedian, I'm a comedian. We think comedy. We observe the world, but we're comics.
I know, but he's almost too much of a joke.
Oh, but he's such a... It'll be 4 years of beauty, though, man.
Really? You want?
I mean, it's the shit's all entertainment to me. And to me, I think Donald Trump looks like he's having fun. That motherfucker looks like he's having a ball, dude. You know he's going, I can't believe I pulled it off. These fucking dumbasses. Jesus. I think he's having fun. I really believe it.
I mean, he's definitely having fun.
I think Hillary is the one that is stressing the fuck out because she ran once. She ran, let's like basically she ran with her husband. She'd been on campaign trails. This is her fucking third one. This bitch is like, I'm shooting this motherfucker. I bet she's like she must be so stressed out.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't look like she's having fun. But Donald Trump is like this.
Well, he has nothing to lose.
She's a fucking whore. How's that? He has no solution. What are you going to do about an economy? I don't know, but you don't want a whore running your economy, do you?
It's going to be really, really great.
Donald Trump dick slapped everybody, man. He's dick slapping people. He's just opening
you
up his...
You do a good Trump, man.
Hey, it's not bad. I know Obama's just like ready to leave. He's rolling joints, getting all his little spliffs ready.
You think he gave out to his daughter when she got busted?
No, he was like, sometimes you just got to do it. I mean, my daughter, I know she's smoking, and I smoke. And they said she's smoking pot. No, she's smoking POTUS. That's what, POTUS. That's President of the United States. You know, I can't say that my daughter is doing something wrong. I just know that if she smokes weed, make sure it's in the house. We have a lot of rooms. We got a pot room. That's what I have. So I think Obama's ready to get the fuck out. You know, I'm ready to, you know, get my money. I didn't know they'd trick me. I thought, you know, I came in with black hair. Now I look like Frederick Douglass. I mean, what the hell's going on? So I'm glad I did my thing, but I'm glad to be out.
So President Obama, Des Bishop, CNN, what did you think about Larry Wilmore using the N-word at the correspondence dinner?
Well, you know, he bombed. He fucked up. And I killed. So, I mean, the nigga was crazy. I don't know what he was thinking. But I felt bad for him. You know, I did. And he tried.
But I guess you're a tough act to follow, President.
I am. I got good. I've been getting real good at this. So, Larry Wilmore, I mean, I might have to take his spot.
Well, it's going. It's going at the moment.
I think so. But I'm going just like he. He's going. So, but my shit was successful. I don't know.
That's great. I mean, I feel bad. I feel like I'm using you now at this stage.
I know, use me.
Come on, dance. Dance, you fucker. Dance, African. Dance.
But, yeah, I mean, you got to go back and meet your friend. You got me out of a jam, bro. You saved my ass.
I think this is like an hour show right now.
It's an hour show, man.
It's beautiful,
with
dude.
With the intro, man, forget it.
It's beautiful, man. This is dope. This was cool. We can do another one now.
I'll hit you up anytime I'm in a jam, bro. Godfrey,
just be in a
Chinese
fucking jam. Can you just like pick me? Jesus.
Godfrey, anytime, bro.
Yo, I'm in a jam. I picked every other comic. They're all gone, but I have you, buddy. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe next time I'll have a theme.
Yeah. Should I promote my Twitter or something like that?
Well, what is it?
It's Godfrey Comedian, at Godfrey Comedian, and my Instagram is Comedian Godfrey, so it's reverse, Instagram Comedian Godfrey.
I follow you on Instagram and Twitter, actually.
Oh, I'm trying to put more.
I'll be adding, don't worry, when I put this out, I'll be adding, you know, putting an at Godfrey Comedian up, I'll be doing all that.
And my Showtime special, like I said, regular black Showtime, but in Ireland, I don't know what you guys
Ireland
call
not
it.
Available, but.
Is it Showtime?
It's show. They just don't have it, man. Just don't do it, man.
Is it Showtime?
Your Obama is great, but we got to work on your leprechaun.
It's terrible.
Your leprechaun, Irish, we got to work
my
on.
My Irish shit is whack.
Yeah, but you'll figure it out, man. By the time I get you over to Dublin to do a show, you'll have that shit nailed.
I hope so.
Yeah. Anyway, yo, bro, thanks, man.
Dude, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This was awesome, Dez. So I'll see you on the next one, baby.
See you in the next one.
Peace.
So thanks very much to Godfrey for deciding to do it on the spur of the moment. I get the impression he kind of enjoyed it. So we'll probably have Godfrey back on, and maybe I'll talk to him a bit about his life a bit more. You know, because that was like, you know, that was like a lecture, I guess. But it was fun, you know. And so we'll get Godfrey back on. And so thanks to you guys for listening. I hope that was okay. Yeah, a little bit different than normal. We'll be getting more American comics on. I got Annie Lederman coming up next. Or Annie Lederman. Ooh, I've been calling her Lederman. It's Lederman. She corrected me last night. I bumped into her. So she'll be coming on. We'll be definitely talking about sex in comedy, taboos, and the like. And so tune in for that. Tweet me at Des Bishop. Tweet Godfrey at Godfrey Comedian. Or Instagram him at Comedian Godfrey. Facebook me, facebook.com/DesBishop. Snapchat me, Des Buffer. And obviously subscribe to the podcast. Like the podcast. Give us some 5 stars up on iTunes. It's always great. And leave a review. Thanks so much for people that have been doing it. And we made it, man. We did it. Somehow we got a podcast up today. Maybe the next time I'm jammed up, I'll put up the hour of dribble that came out of my mouth while I was driving down the Long Island Expressway. But until the next time I'm jammed up, I guess it'll just be me chatting to other people. Any suggestions for guests that people want me to try to get, let me know. And obviously any suggestions for questions for me the next time I'm just talking to myself, don't be afraid to send them. I love you all. Peace out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.